Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 6, Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva. Text 25.
Yayoho surastriyaha kshataha avaruhya swadishnyataha kridanti pungsa sinchantyaha vigaya Ratikarshita Yayo Surastriya Kshatar Avaruhya Svadishnyataha Kridanti Pungsa Sanchantyo Vigahya Ratikarshita Yayo Surastriya Kshatar Avaruhya svadishnyataha kridanti pungsa sinchanto vigahya ratikarshitaha yayo surastriyakshatar avaruhya svadishnyataha kridanti pungsa sanchantyo Vigahya ratikarshita kshataha o vidura avaruhya descending svadishnyataha from their own airplanes kridanti they play pungsa their husbands sinchantyaha sprinkling with water Vigahya, after entering the water. Ratikarshitaha, whose enjoyment has become diminished. Translation, my dear Kshata Vidura, the celestial damsels come down to those rivers in their airplanes with their husbands. After sexual enjoyment, they enter the water and enjoy sprinkling their husbands with water. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is understood that even the damsels of the heavenly planets are polluted by thoughts of sex enjoyment, and therefore they come in airplanes to bathe in the rivers Nanda and Alakananda. It is significant that these rivers, Nanda and Alakananda, are sanctified by the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, just as the Ganges is sacred because its water emanates from the toes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, so whenever water or anything is in touch with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is purified and spiritualized. The rules and regulations of devotional service are based on this principle. Anything in touch with the lotus feet of the Lord is immediately freed from all material contamination. The damsels of the heavenly planets, polluted by thoughts of sex life, come down to bathe in the sanctified rivers and enjoy sprinkling water on their husbands. Two words are very significant in this connection. Ratikarshitaha means that the damsels become morose after sex enjoyment. Although they accept sex enjoyment as a bodily demand, afterward they are not happy. Another significant point is that Lord Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is described here as Tirthapada. Tirtha means sanctified place. And pada means the lotus feet of the Lord. People go to a sanctified place to free themselves from all sinful reactions. In other words, those who are devoted to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, automatically become sanctified. The Lord's lotus feet are called Tirthapada because under their protection there are hundreds and thousands of saintly persons who sanctify the sacred places of pilgrimage. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, advises us not to travel to different places of pilgrimage. Undoubtedly, it is troublesome to go from one place to another. But one who is intelligent can take shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda and thereby be automatically sanctified as the result of his pilgrimage. Anyone who is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Govinda is called Tirthapada. He does not need to travel on various pilgrimages, for he can enjoy all the benefits of such travel simply by engaging in the devotion, in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a pure devotee who has implicit faith in the lotus feet of the Lord can create sacred places in any part of the world where he decides to remain. Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani, Bhagavatam 1:13:10. The places are sanctified due to the presence of pure devotees. Any place automatically becomes a place of pilgrimage if either the Lord or his pure devotee remains or resides there. In other words, such a pure devotee who is engaged 100% in the service of the Lord can remain anywhere in the universe, and that part of the universe immediately becomes a sacred place where he can peacefully render service to the Lord as the Lord desires. Yayo surastriya kshatar havaruhya svadishnyataha. Kridanti pungsa san sin chantyo Vighaya Ratikarshita. So here we learn something about life in the Svargaloka, the heavenly planets. The Svargaloka is, you could say, either the topmost of the middle planetary systems or the lowest amongst the higher planetary systems. Sometimes the three worlds refers to the lower, the middle, and the upper. But in the three worlds that the Brahmins refer to when they're chanting their Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Sva, refers to the three planetary systems where the sun travels. Bhur Loka, which is the planetary system that we are inhabiting, and Bhuvar Loka, the next higher, and Sva. So the sun travels through these three planetary systems. Other planetary systems are not affected by the sun directly. So, the Svarga Loka, the Surastriya, Sura means the demigods. And the same principle is there as we find here. Just as here, those who have some opulence, they like to go to the Bahamas or to Hawaii or other places. And same thing, they like to sprinkle water on each other, their lovers. They go there for sporting and sex. And then sprinkle some water also. So the same principles there in the heavenly planets. Although one might say that those who live on the heavenly planets are not committing sinful activities by their activities, which we accept that it's not sinful for them to engage in these activities. There's a different standard. There's different laws for different persons, different living beings. It's not that there's one system. They are not responsible for engaging in sinful activities by their activities. But in another way, you could say they are, because they use up their pious credits. Even though they don't accrue sinful reactions, they use up their pious credits by indulging in sense gratification. And ultimately, they have to come down again to the earthly planet and take birth and then go through the whole cycle. So you could say they're also responsible for their activity. It's not that they remain transcendental when they engage in material activities. If they engage in material activities in the heavenly planets, then they will lose that position. They will have to fall down again. Shine punye martilokam vishanti. Come back down. There are some examples of living beings who attain the heavenly planets, and they don't become enamored by the opportunities for sense gratification there. But generally they do. It's so difficult that even the king of heaven himself, Indra, has a difficult time restraining himself from all the opportunities for material enjoyment. There are many stories about that. But suffice it to say, if even Indra, who has 1,000 eyes, if he has difficulty, and he's so qualified with mystic powers and knowledge and high birth, Aditi, he's coming from such a high birth, and he's got such good association. Even we find in Garga Samhita that sometimes Indra goes along with other demigods to visit the planet of Krishna. He's allowed to visit there. Such an exalted post. But still, from time to time, that nagging attraction for Pungsa Striya Mituni Bhavam Etam Tayor Hridaya Granti Mahur. It's, the word is used here, Pungsa. Pungsa and Striya. Pungsa means male and Striya means female. This male-female principle is going on everywhere in the material world. And anyone who becomes affected by this becomes polluted. That's Srila Prabhupada's purport. That's the, you could say, the epitome or the essence of the purport is that anywhere we go in this world, as long as their desire is to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we'll be polluted. And as long as we're polluted, we'll have to continue to take birth after birth after birth in this material world. Sometimes up, sometimes down, like a Ferris wheel. Sometimes one is up, and then he goes around and he's down again. And therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas, They're not very interested in the heavenly planets. They consider them to be phantasmagoria. Phantasmagoria means something that is insubstantial, just kind of hallucinatory, something not real. Because what does it mean to go to the heavenly planet? It's just like our life here. What does it mean to be a successful human being? We have some money and we have some fame and we have our female companions, our male companions, and our family. And then in a few moments, we're whisked off the scene and there's nothing left of any of those things. Not even their names will be remembered. What to speak of their bodies? The bodies are gone, goes into dust or some other element breaks down. The reputation is gone. The house is gone. The children are gone. So what is it? It's like a dream. Daydream, night dream. So our night dreams, at least sensible people don't take their night dreams too seriously. If someone comes up to you and say, listen, I want to tell you about all my dreams for the last 6 months. You'll not be that interested. Say, I have other things to do. It's not such a worthwhile engagement of time. No, I was walking down and then this dog came and he had different teeth and no. So similarly, a devotee, a person who's intelligent, doesn't have very much time for these things, going to the heavenly planets. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasa pura akasha pushpayate. Tridasa pura pushpayate means, what was it? 30 crores of rupees, 30 crores of demigods. So, 330 million demigods at least. So many planets, and the demigods are on different planets. But the devotees consider this simply a wasting time. Someone may say, but we're eternal, so where's the question of wasting time? If I'm engaged, even if I do something for material sense enjoyment, it's not that I'm really wasting time because everything's eternal and I'm eternal. One could make an argument like that. However, a devotee considers even one moment spent without serving Krishna to be the greatest loss. Chanakya Pandit says that even one moment lost cannot be returned or purchased back for all the gold in the world. And we are following in the footsteps of the Braja Vadhu, the gopis, and their mood was that even a moment's separation from Krishna is the most horrible thing. They even criticized Brahma for creating eyes that blink. Because on the earthly planets, the eyes blink. And they were not happy with that because they couldn't see Krishna during that blinking period. Avyartha kaladvam. A person who is making advancement or is advanced on the bhava platform, his distinction is that he doesn't like to waste time. Therefore, he keeps sense gratification to the bare minimum. Or, Sankhya Purvaka Namaganatibi Kala Vasani Kuto Nidra Hara Vikari Vijito Chatyanta Dino Chayo. He tries to reduce the eating and the sleeping and the mating and the defending to nil. And great examples in this regard of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They slept under a different tree every night, so there was practically no defense, no house, no security guards, no all kinds of protection, no insurance policies, no taxes, no defense, just depending on Krishna, and no sex life. Six Goswamis were fully renounced. Eating, practically nil, and sleeping 1.5 hours. So this is our goal. This should be our meditation. When can I come to that point? Even Prabhupada, when he was here at the last stage, he said, I always wanted to give up these things. And he said, now I can't sleep. I have sounds in my head. And eating, I haven't been able to eat for months. And sex life, I already gave up. And there's no question of defense. So I guess I'm liberated. Of course, he was already liberated before that. But still, this is the aspiration of the Vaishnavas. When will I be free from these burning desires? Kamadinam katina katida palita durnidesha. These bad masters, lust, anger, and greed, have been making me dance, forcing me for life after life. When will I get free? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that there's no difference between renunciation, the Sankhya process, and the yoga process, or engaging in service. So we Vaishnavas can accept both. Let me become detached, and at the same time, let me become engaged. But of the two, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayur Hoitakam. Of the two, devotional service is the most important because it automatically brings renunciation and knowledge without any separate endeavor. Therefore, the spiritual master teaches the disciples how to be fully engaged. Just like Srila Prabhupada has given us a program, a morning program, an evening program. These temple programs are so important because they keep us engaged and they uplift us so that throughout the day, the rest of the part of the day, there's a fairly good chance that we may be able to keep engaged in some devotional service if we utilize the morning and evenings for hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we're especially attentive, then we may even be empowered to preach. We may be able to go out and give Krishna consciousness to others, even coming in contact with them and all their polluted activities. And so, if one becomes strong in Krishna consciousness, then he can go anywhere. Narayana paras sarvenu kutaschana bibhiti svarga pavarga narakeshu apitul yarsha darshana. Even he can go to hell and he'll purify hell. It's described that Narad Muni sometimes goes to hell for preaching. And he liberates so many souls. So our cities are, the western cities are hellish. Even the eastern cities are becoming hellish. So, but the devotees who stay in these places and they're fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, Tirthapada, then they're not affected. They're protected from the influence of Maya. Mami Partha Vipashritya Yepi Shupapayonaya Striyo Vaishastata Shudras Tepi Janti Paramgatim. Or another verse where Krishna says, one who's engaged in devotional service, it immediately is liberated from this material energy. This is the art to learn how to be, keep oneself engaged. The building blocks are the principles of sadhana bhakti. Without those, it's not expected that one will rise up to spontaneous love without being very firm in his sadhana principles. Sometimes there are those who try to prematurely come to the spontaneous platform without following strictly the principles of sadhana or practice devotional service, and it becomes a disturbance in society. So not only is wherever the Lord goes becomes a sacred place, but even where the devotee of the Lord goes. The devotees of the Lord become imbued with the power to purify any place. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he came to so many Western cities. And those cities, I was thinking about that in America, other than the places Srila Prabhupada went, it's difficult to find any holy places. And even the people of America would admit that. They don't really have any standard holy places. You know, Colorado River, they go for holidays. Where can you say, what is it, Niagara Falls? Nothing really holy connected with, therefore they have to make up some. They imagine that these mountains are kind of mystical or something like that. But no standard official holy places, because they don't have a conception of the personality of Godhead being a person, so he can't have a form. And they don't have the conception of pure devotee. But we know that wherever Srila Prabhupada went, that place has become a holy place just by the touch of his feet. Because he brings with him, wherever he goes, he brings Krishna. That's what makes it holy. It's not that he's separately a sanctifier. He's a sanctifier because he brings Krishna. And therefore it becomes a holy place. Prabhupada brought Krishna in so many ways. In the holy name he brought Krishna. He brought Krishna in the form of the deity, the Archivigraha. He brought Krishna in the form of his words, Bhagavad Gita, his glorification, Srimad Bhagavatam, his service, Bhagavad Bhakti. So many ways he brought Krishna. And therefore, even those places become holy places. So what about visiting holy places? Prabhupada dedicates a certain portion of the purport that Narottam Das Thakur says it's a kind of bewilderment to visit holy places. Yes, because if one is properly engaged in devotional service, he's already at a holy place. So what is the need for spending so much energy and time and money going to some other holy place? He's already in a holy place. Especially Srila Prabhupada said that our temples are Vaikuntha. Sometimes he said they're Goloka Vrindavan. Anywhere, even in hellish cities. Yes, because Krishna is there and devotional service is there. So no one should feel lamentation or disappointed that they have to go back to their preaching fields. I'm sure that the idea is to come to a place like Vrindavan and to become rejuvenated, because even though it's a fact that wherever one may stay and engage in devotional service, he can be untouched by the material energy. Still, because we are not completely purified, we may become affected. Therefore, coming to the holy place or visiting the temple, Pancha Triki Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, going out and preaching, but then we need to come and have deity worship because the seeing the deity and following the principles of Pancha Trikividi will keep us purified and protected from the influence of Maya. So thank you very much. If there's any questions, we can.
We have this special opportunity here in Vrindavan. Actually, so much preaching is going on. And so many hundreds and thousands of pilgrims are coming every day. And sometimes we're seeing, though, that many of the pilgrims, they just come and push and shove. And we don't also see how they're, you know, Krishna's guests. So sometimes they're not so well received in different ways, or just how can we encourage and be a good host for all these guests, even though they're so many of them are coming, but be in the consciousness that, oh, here's Krishna's guest. So.
Well, that's the answer, as you said, to always think that these are Krishna's guests, and who am I? I'm Krishna's servant, and my duty is to take care of Krishna's guests, to make them feel, make them have a wonderful experience. If they have a wonderful experience, then even one moment's pure association with the Lord or the devotees will be so beneficial. They'll see the deity. That's not an ordinary thing, to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to be seen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they may be, some of them may be kanishta adhikaris, they may be just coming with not pure desires. That's possible. That's okay. Still, they've come to the right place. We were seeing on Gaur Purnima day in the Ganges, we took a bath in the Ganga. Well, while we were taking a bath in the Ganga, there were many other people taking a bath in the Ganga. And they weren't necessarily taking a bath in the Ganga with the utmost respect, smoking and other things. So does it mean that there's no benefit for them? No. They still get the benefit. Ganga is so merciful. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. They may have even thought that they were doing this just out of ritual for holy or for whatever reason. But still they get the benefit. They were chanting Hare Krishna, even mockingly. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, it was an eclipse. And so there were people taking bath in the Ganga to counteract, and they were chanting the holy names. But then there were others, Muslims, who were just mocking the chanting of the Hindus. But they also were chanting, and they were also getting the benefit. So we shouldn't think that anyone is excluded from the mercy of the Lord. And they're coming here to see the Lord. They give some donation. Or even if they bow down, manmana bhava mad bhakto mad jaji mam namaskaru. Generally they bow down, isn't it? The guests, so they're paying obeisances. Always think of me. So there's thinking of Krishna. Seeing Krishna, that's thinking of Krishna. And they generally do some chanting. Maybe it's not full time, but they've come here. So they're very fortunate. And we're very fortunate to be just like those who had the chance to act as Prabhupada's assistants when he had guests coming to his room. I remember sometimes I got that opportunity. And you'd sit there and invite them in, escort them in and out, give them prasadam. That was a wonderful thing. Prabhupada said, give them prasadam. So we try to make sure that all the guests get prasadam, right? And they can, that they're treated nicely, because after all, they're Krishna's guests. If we mistreat one, there was one incident you've probably all read about in Prabhupada's time. There was one guest came and there was a little bit of a argument between the devotees, and Prabhupada personally called, sent the devotee out, find that person, bring him back. We have to apologize to him. So we have a great responsibility to act as Krishna's servants and Prabhupada's servants here in Vrindavan. You could say we even have more responsibility because many of us are coming from the West and there's already some suspicion about whether we should be allowed. But we have to behave properly so that Prabhupada will not be, his good reputation will not be diminished by our misbehavior. So we have to behave nicely as Vaishnavas. Is that right? Thank you.
You know, you see a kind of a harshness, which I guess is required in certain circumstances, but sometimes you see that. So it's nice that you brought that to the forefront of our minds, because they are also Krishna's in their heart and their...
Well, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you mentioned that sometimes there's some shoving and pushing, but that shoving and pushing is for what? To see the Lord. So when Lord Chaitanya was entering the Jagannath temple, there was one lady, old lady, she was using Lord Chaitanya to step up. One leg was on Lord Chaitanya's and the other leg was on the Garuda Stambha. So double offenses to the Lord and the devotee. And the other devotees were shocked. Get down, what are you doing? Don't you realize? And Lord Chaitanya chastised them. She said, no. He said, if I could only get some of her eagerness to see the Lord, then it would be great. I would like to have such eagerness. So these people may be shoving and pushing, but they're shoving and pushing to see the Lord. So that is their great credit. And we can learn so many things from this culture. Especially we from the West, we have so much to learn from Vedic culture. Generally, we know pushing and shoving means getting into a football game or baseball game. That's our pushing, shoving, or in a bar, knocking each other over. But here, it's different. We're jostling to get a good position to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for a few moments. So it's a great, great culture. We have so much to learn from this culture. Therefore, it's important that we come here from time to time.
Point discourse. Srila Prabhupada turned many hippies into happies. When I was attending UC Berkeley, I met with many hippies. The norm of life for them was eating meat, illicit connection, gambling, and intoxication. And Srila Prabhupada, they were used to life. Srila Prabhupada turned them into nice devotees. What made Srila Prabhupada so successful? Was it chanting or compassion or offering prasadam or
keep going. You can just keep adding on. Okay. All those things. Yes, prasadam. I remember once in Berkeley, as you were saying Berkeley, I'll tell this story. I was the acting president of the Berkeley Temple. Jayananda was actually the president, but he was, you know, conducting the Rath Yatra. He was building the carts. So during the days leading up to Rath Yatra, I was asked to look after the temple there. So then, yes. So the day of Rath Yatra, we all went over to San Francisco, crossed the bridge, had a wonderful festival, and Prabhupada was staying in Berkeley, not at the temple, but at a hippie's house. Well, yeah, they were hippies, nearby the temple. So I was told by Karandar, who was Prabhupada's assistant, he said, Prabhupada will come over and visit the temple someday, or sometime tomorrow, to inspect the temple and everything. So we thought, great, sometime in the morning, 11 o'clock, we'll have time to clean everything up. Anyway, Prabhupada changed his mind and decided to come over very early. I think it was 5 or so, like that. So we, of course, were not ready for him. And he came in. It was just after Mangal Arati. And his picture, his photograph, was still on the Vyasa sign. Fortunately, one of the ladies had the wherewithal to take the picture off so Prabhupada could sit down. Otherwise, we were just all kind of in awe. So then Prabhupada sat down and he said, continue with what you were doing. So what we were doing is we were reciting the translation to the Mangal Arati prayers. And the one we were on before he came in was the fourth verse. So we recited it. The spiritual master is always offering 4 kinds of foodstuffs analyzed as those which are chewed, licked up, drank, and swallowed. 4 kinds of prasadam are offered to Krishna, and when the spiritual master sees the devotees are eating Bhagavad prasadam, he is satisfied. I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the best part. He said, isn't it, Karandar? Isn't prasadam the best part? And Karandar said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Pradumna, what's the best part? He said, yes, prasadam. He asked a few other devotees. He said, yes, prasadam is the best part. So, of all the things, it seems that prasadam is the best part. Thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.